You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm. Beatbox says he said that he will cough up the $400, Matt Wilhelm. It's getting dicey in here.
It is getting dicey.
We'll find out what actually happens with this maybe later on. We still have a lot of time to work this out. Dog Pound, the good news is you can be inspiring, just like Matt Wilhelm wants to inspire those of the Freestand movement, by making the pledge to give 10 hours of volunteering in your community. 50,000 fans did it along last year, along with tons of Browns players. Have you? Take the pledge to give 10 and make your community better by signing up on clevelandbrowns.com. Help move your community forward. Wear your orange wristband to show your commitment to give 10. Let's hear now from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine.
A little bit more added into this week just because it's first one in the division. Always an exciting week. We all look forward to it, knowing how important the games are. A little odd this year how the schedule fell, you know, going through the first quarter of the season without playing a division game. But it's always a big emphasis. Thought we made strides last year and closed the gap on some of the teams in the division. We'll see where we stand with Baltimore on Sunday. So success in the division is a big priority, and made sure I spent a little extra time in the meeting today to emphasize that with the players, also with the young guys, you know, the guys that don't know much about the division games and the rivalry with Baltimore and the history behind it. Made sure that we cover that today, so those guys have a good understanding of why these fan bases aren't necessarily on each other's Christmas card lists. But this is a big challenge for us. They're coming off a big win with a couple extra days rest, so it's certainly look at it as a big challenge. Offensively, I think this is the best offensive line we've gone against to date, if not one of the best O-lines in the league. They're playing well, been very consistent. The running back, Forsett, I thought a breakout year last year, and is certainly following that up. His skill set matches very much what they want to do up front. Very productive for him. You know, Flacco is a guy that we know a lot about. You know, big guy, can make all the throws. Throws, has great touch on the long ball. The vertical routes, the posts, the corners. He throws them as well as anyone in the league. A better athlete, he can move better, and I think people give a guy that tall credit for. And he's certainly a challenge, you know, especially being at their stadium. The receiving core, you know, I know they've talked about Steve Smith potentially being out. But he's a guy that, you certainly knowing him and his history and his mentality, that's one I might not believe till the inactives are turned in, knowing him. Defensively, you know, it's the Ravens D. I mean, I know they're missing Suggs and some of the bigger name guys, but it's of years past. But it's a good unit. They're playing well together. Very stout against the run, very big, very physical up front. I think the pair of inside linebackers, Smith and Mosley, are as good a tandem as there is out there, and it's a big challenge. They're get up in your face and be real physical. That's the kind of group that they are, and we'll have to respond to that challenge. It's special teams. Two of the better kickers in the league, and Sam Cook's been very consistent for a long period of time, and likely to, you know, one of the best young kickers in the league, young clutch kickers in the league, in Tucker. From an injury standpoint, Gip and Craig will not practice today. Craig more than likely is out this week. Drawn and Hartline likely will not go today either. Their status is probably a little bit more encouraging. There's a chance they'll be able to go, but we're going to sit them today. Turbin and Solomon will both do some teamwork. We'll go through individuals, and we have them on a pitch count and some of the teamwork to get a good feel for where they are. And then also outside of just Joe Thomas and Randy Starks will get their usual days off. But other than that, we expect everybody else to practice. I'll open it up.
Joe Hayden's catching a lot of criticism for his decision not to play on Sunday. I guess a couple things. Did you have any problem with him not playing?
No, and he is, and I think a lot of that's unwarranted, and some of that I will bear some of that blame just in detailing the procedure and how it went. But Joe made the decision based on he didn't feel he could be 100%, and he felt it would hurt the team if he played. So, I mean, it's something that I've talked about with him, and comfortable with where we are with it. And I just think it's unfortunate because Joe is one of the faces of our franchise. I don't think nobody questions his toughness, his leadership, how important the Browns are to him. What football, what being a Cleveland Brown means to him, and vice versa. So it's, I think it's unwarranted. I mean, Joe, and I misspoke. Joe wanted to be out there. He wanted to play, but just in his assessment, did not want to put the team at risk, knowing that he could not be at the percentage that in his heart he knew he couldn't get to.
To patch things up with him, or did he come to you and say you threw me under the bus?
No, it's just something. I think when the flak started, I felt I needed to reach out to him.
You just said you reach out to Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And how? I mean, what was it?
It's between Joe and I. It was primarily the finger.
Mike, what kind of explanation did you end up giving to the NFL on the whole situation that they were looking into with Joe?
Just presented him with the facts that he practiced, and we listed him that we expect him to play based on how practice went. So it's to me it's a standard, it's a procedural thing when a player doesn't play. It's my understanding. I don't know how often this happens, but we don't see this as a big deal. I doubt the league will as well.
Mike, in regards to the play in the Seattle game the other day, do you conduct either in the off season or during the season, do you devote specific time to going over roles? Are you confident your guys know the roles pretty well?
Some of the obscure ones, I mean, ones like that, I'll admit that I didn't. I thought it was okay to bat the ball out as well. By position group, we handle that early, especially with the rookies, the explanation of, okay, how are things different now? That's a big part of when the rookies come in, understanding the differences. Never fails every year during the preseason. You have a rookie that catches, somebody catches a ball in front of them and is on the ground and they don't touch him, and somebody gets up and gains additional yards or scores. So that those are always good teaching moments, and you make sure that they have a clear understanding of it. But when things like that happen around the league, that we'll address it this week. Just make sure everybody's on the same page. If there are things that whether it's typically in our meeting regarding the officials, which is tomorrow, we get the video from officials during the week. If anything comes up from that, I'll address it with the team as well.
Where have you seen? You've asked a lot of Pierre Desir, because of the injuries and stuff. Where has his development been since the end of last year? And now he's, if Kaywan doesn't come back for a while, it seems like he's into a pretty prominent role.
He is, and he's playing pretty well. I mean, I know he regrets the one play where he didn't get a good jam at the line of scrimmage and gave up the touchdown to Allen. But Pierre's played a lot of snaps and he was prepared. He did not go through training camp getting starters reps, but took all the opportunities that he got, and he was injured for part of it too, but took all the opportunities he got to get himself better. We always implore our guys that are on the scout team, you're just not out there just to be out there. That this is play our technique unless told otherwise and use it as a rep to get better. And he embodies that. He did it last year and has done it this year as well.
What does he still need to work on to get to where you guys need him to be?
Just consistency with the technique. That he is outstanding when he gets his hands on receivers. He's strong, he's got a great punch, and just the length that he has, that when he gets his hands on receivers early within the 5 yards, that most of the time it's disruptive enough to have the quarterback have to look elsewhere.
Closing the gap on the division. Mm-hmm. In your history, do you feel that a year like last year can carry over? Or is it a clean, whole new slate?
Well, I think it depends on your core, how many of your core guys were a part of it. And I know what the history was with the division. And it was right in front of us in the beginning. We opened at Pittsburgh and addressed that history. That's probably – that and the Ravens would be the two most lopsided and feel good about what we accomplished against Pittsburgh last year. And I know that's coming up down the road, but Baltimore's one where it's been lopsided. I think Flacco's only lost once, and I know last year we, despite being very competitive in both games, we were 0-2 against them. But I think based on that, the guys that were a part of it last year are not going to be in any way – we're not starting the game in a hole. I mean, I think our guys realize that if we play well, that we can be successful.
Like, is Kate Wine still in the profile?
He's not. He's been cleared. He'll practice full today.
And talk about the decision to play Bademosi more corner with Gilbert back healthy.
A lot of that was more practice reps logged that Batty had gotten more. Justin had missed a bunch with the injury and had played a lot more in the calls that we were making in that game. And just there was more of a comfort level. And we also knew that that Justin coming out too was going to be returning kickoffs. That we played Justin early and wanted to see where he was and played both of them and felt as the game went on that Batty was probably in a little better groove and stuck with him.
When you don't have Kaywan and you got to move Trayvon inside when they go with three receivers, how much of an adjustment is that and maybe not having your guy who's playing the best so far in corner being on the outside?
Yeah, it's that is tough. That is tough to anytime there's one injury and it causes you to move multiple positions. That's not ideal, but we're also, as coaches, you're tasked with putting your best 11 out there. So it's Tremont has played a lot of nickel in his past, and I thought did a good job moving inside. We would prefer to leave him outside, but just looking at what the circumstances were, and we mixed it, didn't play at all, just 100% with him inside, did some different things. But it's no different than another an offensive line where if you lose you lose a guard and all of a sudden now that you got to slide in move a tackle over a center and move another guy in you want to avoid that. But if it's a move that you feel puts the best lineup out there, then you roll with it.
Have you reached out to Johnny Manziel today at all or talked to him about the fire in Texas?
I have not. This is first I'm hearing it. So I mean, I just. Gotcha. I'll speak with him about it. I mean, I just saw him at the walkthrough. Seemed to be in good spirits, but I'll bring it up.
Mike, did you anticipate this kind of production from Barnage? And is he the kind of selfless player you wish you had a handful of?
Yeah, Gary's been great. He's one of those guys that I think goes under the radar, goes unnoticed. Not a big name guy. I think a lot of people felt, hey, that. The production from that room was going to drop significantly when we lost, when we lost Jordan to free agency, and Gary's. We have a lot of confidence in made big plays for us last year, in few opportunities, and that's continued. I mean, he's been very consistent. That he's a more than adequate blocker, and in the past game, he understands. He's a good understanding of defenses and leverage and how teams are playing them and where the dead spots in the zones are and how to set up a guy who's playing a man coverage. And then he's got good ball skills and knows what to do after the catch. So I thought that catch he made in the game was amazing, with it getting tipped and sideways, getting his elbow down. But he's been we've had some success this year offensively in the pass game. He's a big part of it.
Receivers are what they are. Mm-hmm. Does it stress a different part of your defense?
Well, I think the challenge clearly will be on is clearly on the front seven this game, because this is a team that ran the ball successfully against us last year. I think 160 yards in one game and 130 in another. That we have to play well up front. That was the challenge in the meeting this morning. That this is an offensive line and a tight end group. You know, they're big, physical. That we have to focus on technique and winning one-on-one matchups, and you know all the things we talk about: get off the ball, knock our guy back, separate from a block violently, tackle. You know, the challenge for, we want to be successful on defense this year. It starts up front.
Mike Pettine, they're talking about a lot of things that he's right. Starts up front for this defense. Also issuing an apology for the word choice he used about Joe Haden and the flack he's received for not playing with that finger injury there. Coach trying to clean that up here in his Wednesday presser.
And that's all fine and good. And like I mentioned, you know, earlier in the week, a football coach is a football coach. You know, I know X's and O's, and what's politically right to reference a player or reference a situation, especially in, you know, a 15 to 20 minute press conference. You know, you can misuse words at times, but I think you're just trying to overall convey a message. And that's what he was doing.
Yes, he was. When we come back, we'll convey some messages to you. 216-578-0850. Browns, we are on to the Ravens. Browns, Ravens this Sunday. Battle of 2-1-3 teams trying to get out of kind of the basement of the AFC North and get their season in gear. We're also going to go around the league at 2:30 and then get into the mailbag to wrap up the show. So tweet us using the hashtag AskCBD, and we'll get to any and all Browns questions right after this.